What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Father, we thank you. You've done so much for us. So much. So much. Thank you for your mercy, your faithfulness, and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, because when you heal completely. When you save completely. When you deliver completely. When you help completely. Thank you, Father. We can never tell it all, but we give you praise. Amen. Breathe upon your word this morning. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand. We give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody give the Lord some shout of praise, and can you see that? Please be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Expectant this morning, because God is here to do you good. Hallelujah. God has a word for you, and that word is going to transform you on all sides. So we've been discussing and looking at the subject intuitions and premonitions. I discovered that Christians have experiences sometimes they cannot explain. They have experiences that they cannot explain. Hear me, when you get born again, something supernatural truly happened to you. The Holy Spirit of God to dwell in you. Holy Spirit of God now lives in you. That is not fable. It's not something we are trying to make you believe. If you believe in your heart that God died, that Jesus died, and that he rose again for your justification, guess what? That moment, the Holy Spirit moves. It's the Holy Spirit that is the life of God. Now, there are two experiences that the believer has when he gets saved. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. But guess what? There is another experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God coming upon you now. And permit me to add, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, he comes upon you and endues you with power, giving you another extra advantage in your Christian walk with God. Somebody said, so is the Holy Spirit double? Do we have two Holy Spirit? No. It's the same Holy Spirit, but different experiences. Are you with me? It's like drinking water. It's different from, you see, if the person who drinks a glass of water will have a different experience from someone who has a swimming pool to dive into. Are you getting me? Though it's the same water. So, when you get born again, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. When you now receive baptism, the word baptism means to be clothed with, to be soaked in, to be immersed in something. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are immersed into the experience of the Holy Ghost. Now, this Holy Spirit, there is a way Jesus introduced him. And I want us to start there, John 16. When Jesus was talking about sending the Holy Spirit, how did he introduce him? Amen. So John 16:13. I want us to see. Actually, from verse 7, Jesus says a lot of things. In fact, I think in verse 7, he says, if I don't go, the helper will not come. The Holy Spirit is a great help. But in verse 13, he says something, and that's where I want us to pick up from today. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. I want you to notice some key things there. One is guide. You can write down. He guides. Two, he speaks. So he's not the Spirit that is in you and is quiet. He's a Spirit that guides. He's a Spirit that speaks. But the Bible says he will not speak on his own authority. That means somebody will instruct him to speak, right? He said, but whatever he hears, that means he can hear. You can talk to him. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Then look at this interesting part. He will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. This is how Jesus introduced the Holy Ghost. He introduced him as a guide. He introduced him as a spirit that speaks. He introduced him as a spirit that hears. And he introduced him as a spirit that can tell you things to come. Now, what that means is that no believer is supposed to be caught up in any eventualities in life when you have a Holy Ghost. That means the Holy Spirit can tell you about your future. The Holy Spirit can tell you about pending danger. The Holy Spirit can tell you things about your children. He can tell you things about your spouse. Listen now. He can tell you things that the human senses cannot access. He can give you what I call inside information. That is the benefit of having the Holy Spirit. He says he will tell you things to come. Go to verse 15. Verse 15 says, all things that the Father has are mine. Jesus is saying all the Father's secrets. I mean, if you have some of those friends that you say, this person knows my thing. He knows my thing. The Holy Spirit knows the Father's things. And he says, all that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine. And what is he going to do? He will declare it to you. If you know the things of the Father, you will live victoriously in life. It's not possible to know the things of God, to know the things of the Father, and be disadvantaged in this life. So one of the things the Holy Ghost is constantly doing in his present day ministry is to take the things that are of the Father and reveal it to you. So in the course of this series, what we've been looking at is the fact that we have a Holy Ghost in us. Are we together? And he has come to us as the Spirit of grace. And grace is a supernatural endowment, a supernatural ability. Are you with me? To do things that in your own natural strength, ability, and senses will not be able to do. So we said last week that most times, because Paul writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, now concerning spiritual endowments, I will not want you to be ignorant. And the word he uses there is the word grace, charismata, the things of the Spirit. Spiritual things. I don't want you to be ignorant. And listen, it's so sad that in church, many people are ignorant of spiritual things. And because they are ignorant of spiritual things, guess what? They are struggling in their ability. They are trying to do everything in their own senses. Can I speak to you? You are not like everybody. When you're born again, you have a Holy Ghost. You have a supernatural advantage. I say most times when people seek spiritual endowment, it's so that they can do what? Either know things, or to be able to say things, or be able to do things. And the good news is this. The Holy Spirit that Jesus has sent as a helper is in you to help you know things supernaturally. To help you do things supernaturally. And let's go further. To help you say things supernaturally. Hallelujah. So last week we said that there are 9 manifestations. The way the grace of God benefits us is that he manifests himself. If you go and meet someone, you know, let me speak because I love the way Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians. Are we together? He wrote that letter with a background knowledge of people who have been involved in sorcery, involved in charm, involved in diabolic things. As a matter of fact, if you read the letters of Paul in that Corinthians, when he said that, when he was talking about eating food offered to idols, it's still spiritual things he's addressing. Because the Corinthians used to go and exalt gods, and it's believed that there are certain foods that when you eat, you can access superior knowledge. So that's why I was telling them, like, look, you can't go and eat food offered to idols, then come to church and also partake of the table of communion. You'll be provoking God to jealousy. Now, in our culture, some of you are not far from the things I'm saying. When you hear of jazz, when you hear of people who went to get involved in diabolic things. Now, when you hear that somebody has gone to be involved in some form of diabolic things, can I speak to you? The person's greatest advantage from that thing is when he comes and the thing begins to manifest. If it doesn't manifest, then it's a waste. I'm not a big fan of Nigerian movies. But if I say I've never watched them, I'll be lying. I remember one Nigerian movie in those days, Living in Bondage. You remember, I didn't watch it. You know, I hope I'm not mixing it up, but I think it's in that movie that the man wanted protection from bullets so that if they shoot him, there will be no penetration. Or is it a wrong movie? I know what I'm saying. It might be the wrong movie, but I think it's this movie. But I know he went to do charm and so that they were not. So after they had prepared the portion, I think he had gone through the ritual. He now told the herbalist, he said, test your work. So he gave him a gun and said, test your work. Now, when I was watching that movie, I knew there was trouble because the moment he told the herbalist, test your work, the guy was shocked. So he now looked at him and said, I think I've gone through the process. Here is a gun. Test your work. And the guy loaded this dang gun. Shot him and the guy died. Do you understand? The guy died. That means the portion was a waste. He couldn't manifest his desired result. The Holy Spirit is in you, not so that you just carry him around. It will be a waste if he doesn't manifest himself through you. And we said that there are 9 ways that the Holy Ghost manifests himself, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So quickly, let's run through them. We said the first is what for the sake of teaching, we categorize them into 3 major parts. Hallelujah. We said that there are manifestations we call gifts of power, where the Holy Ghost displays his power through us. One of them is workings of miracles. We said the second one is the gift of faith. Then we now said there is what we know as the gifts of healings. So there are special endowments for healings. Then there is a gift of faith where God's all boldness comes upon a man to dare things that in his natural strength he will not be able to dare. Do you get me? Where you'll be able to, you know, God's all faith comes upon you. You are so certain. You undertake things that people, when they think about you, they say, maybe you're sick. That's the gift of faith. Then there's the working of miracle, where the supernatural power of God intervenes in natural occurrences. Are you with me? To bring about miracles. I remember some years ago, I was traveling with 2 of my pastors, and I wanted to pass through Lokoja, see my parents. Now, if you travel between Ayinba, if you know Kogi State, I think I was with Pastor Steve, amen. Between Ayinba, the bends, they are very dangerous bends. And I was running, that was then, I don't run like that again. I was running at about 150, you know, because I wanted to catch up. As I was negotiating this bend, listen to me, don't run at bends and don't overtake at bends. You might not be able to learn this lesson if you try it. So I was overtaking, and guess what? I was descending, and there were 2 trucks coming, and the other truck was bent on overtaking the other one. So they covered the road. And at that time, they had not made any pedestrian pass. You know, now they fix the road, there's a pedestrian pass. There was no pedestrian pass, only a deep gully. As I lifted my head up, Pastor Steve was there. He also carried his head up. As I lifted my head, I was barely 200 meters away from them. It's not a question of navigating. I closed my eyes and said, Jesus. Guess what? We were behind the trucks. We were just behind. The moment I just said, Jesus, I don't know what happened. It's like the angel said, something lifted us. I had to park the car because I was even shaking. I said, Pastor, what just happened? He said, doesn't know. With no pedestrian pass, with the trucks, I don't know whether I'll pass through them or we pass by the side. We were just behind. When we turned, the trucks were still struggling and climbing up. That is the working of miracle. That's the Holy Ghost. When those four boys were thrown into the furnace, what do you think that was? And they were not burnt. That was a working of miracles. Amen. So there are gifts of power. Gifts of power. Then we have what we call vocal gifts. What are vocal gifts? They are supernatural endowments to be able to speak. You see, a lot of times when we have taught vocal gifts, we have taught them in relation to church. Most of these gifts don't even happen in church. One of the purpose of this teaching is so that you can know that they are not just experiences for church. They are things that happen in your everyday work. Vocal gifts are prophecy. Then we have diverse kind of tongues, which is different from the regular tongues we pray. This is when the Holy Ghost inspires a tongue in you. Then he inspires another to interpret what is being said. A ministry in Lagos, in Port Harcourt, I've gone there to preach a couple of times, mood break. 2 years ago, they were having joint summit. And they sent a brother to go and withdraw money from the bank. And robbers trailed him. So when he withdrew the money, they got him into their car. And it was a large amount of money meant for the program. And they were taking him to a particular place to go and rob him. He said, as he sat there in the car with mixed thoughts and two people sitting next to him pointing guns, the next thing that came to his mind, he said, the power of God came upon him and he began to speak in tongues. As he was speaking in tongues, he said, he closed his eyes and he was speaking in other tongues. Guess what? They got to a place, parked the car. They said, get out. You, get out now. Get out with the money, get out. So one of them said, why are you cursing us? Why are you saying this? Because as he was speaking in tongues, he was speaking their life. It was an inspired speech. But they were hearing it in their understanding. And he was opening up their lives, talking about their lives, speaking their lives. And he told them that you don't know where you are going to end. As he was saying this thing, fear gripped them. They felt like they had carried a wizard. They said, drop out of this car, whatever you came with. And they drove off in a flight. You see, that is a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. A lady was serving in the northern part of Nigeria. During her service here some years ago. And is somebody blessed here? And a lady was caught under the Sharia law and was supposed to be killed. So as she stood there, she went to court that day because the news was in the whole community. And as she sat there, she was just praying, God, this woman does not have to die. This woman does not have to die. And as they were about to read the verdict, the Holy Ghost came upon her. She began to speak in diverse tongues. From where she was in the courtroom, she was chanting. So, as she was talking, everybody said, quiet! Quiet! The judge said, see me in my chambers now. So they went into the... He said, who are you? And what are you doing here? Guess what she was saying? As she was speaking in diverse tongues, guess what the judge was hearing? Are you better than her? Were you not the one who was involved with this person's wife the other day? Were you not the one doing this and doing that? If you slay this woman, we'll make sure you have the same treatment. And she was revealing more things. So the judge had to shout, keep quiet. He said, who told you those things? Because those were personal things. The judge came and said they should let the woman go. These manifestations are for your advantage. Amen. Are you getting me? They are real. The simple gift of prophecy is being able to speak a word for comfort, edification, and exaltation. We'll be looking at this some other time. But guess what? Do you know you can walk up to your boss and speak a word of comfort, a word of edification, a word of exaltation that will transform that company, and it will lead to your own promotion? So, when we talk about diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, we are talking about vocal gifts. The Holy Ghost can take advantage of your tongue and do things. Amen. Have you heard of people who speak and people are spellbound? You can speak and people will be spellbound. Amen. But you know, most of the time, a lot of us want to speak in our own. You know, you say, see, listen to me, these gifts I'm talking about are not natural abilities. Because some people put too much confidence in their ability to talk. If you know me, I was not born to preach. Because, one, I don't know how to talk. I didn't grow up knowing how to talk. I was a very shy person, very timid person. In fact, I've always been a brilliant person. Somebody say you are boasting. The results are there to show. I've always been a brilliant person. I've not struggled academically. There's nothing I set my heart to know that I don't know. So academically, I'm not dull. But I didn't know how to talk. You know, some people know how to talk. I don't know how to talk. I couldn't organize my thoughts. I wasn't good at organizing my thoughts. So if I'm a teacher of God's word today, it is not a product of Fuller Theology and Seminary. It is the enablement of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. Most people who knew me, most of my teachers when I was younger, when they see me today, they are shocked because I couldn't even be a class prefect. I couldn't even address the class. So it's the grace of God. That's why I never go to talk to anybody without praying. Praise God. Recently, I was summoned to one of the security agencies in this country, and I went there with Pastor Steve. As I was going there, I said, what am I going to say? And I prayed in the Holy Ghost from that place till I entered that office. By the time I got there, it was a friendly conversation. Are you with me? Even if I'm supposed to meet your father, I'll pray. So I can help me organize my words in a way that it will have a cutting edge. So it's not a question of Pastor Rome. Wow, Pastor Rome can talk. Pastor Rome is an orator. I preached somewhere and one man helped me. I said, wow, I've never heard anybody preach like that. Man, you're an orator. I said, you don't know. You don't know. It's an endowment. It's grace that I have received. I know one of the things about grace, the more you exercise yourself in it, the easier it is to connect to it and flow in it. So I constantly exercise myself in these things. But for this series of teaching that we've titled Intuitions and Premonitions, what we are focusing on is the gift of being able to see and know things, which is what we call the revelative gifts. Are we together? We call them the what? Revelative gifts.
Which is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the discernment of spirits. Are you ready to learn?
Yes, sir.
Someone is sick in church.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. See, the more you exercise yourself in this, nothing will catch you on our ways.
Amen.
That was a good place to
be.
Acts chapter 11, verse 28. Now there was a famine that was going to come upon the land. And this is what excites me. The church was not caught on the way. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit. He did what? He showed, he revealed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the land. I mean, throughout all the world. The Bible says this famine also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. That means what the government did not know, the church knew. He saw by the Spirit, there's going to be a famine. That means national events can take place and you will not be caught unawares. The Holy Spirit can reveal things to you way before the meteorological center can pick it. Reveal things to you way before the Minister of Trade and Commerce will pick it. Before government officials can pick it, God can reveal it to you. You can be in your institution, you can be in your company, and God can reveal things to you way before others know it. And Scripture tells us that the church was not caught unawares, because look at the next verse. He prepared them for it. Then the disciples, based on what God had revealed, each according to his own ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. Next verse. These they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now notice, all these sending relief materials, what were they doing? They were preparing because God had already revealed to them what was going to happen. Did somebody get it? In the early church, they had these things operating there. That church is still the same church for them today. When we're going to start our church in Boko, are we together? The church in Boko. If you know this church started in Men, if you know Benny's name, started in Benny's Men, come. And I was praying one day, and the Spirit of God said, Aaron, go to Boko and start a church. That was like, it's about 15, 20 kilometers from where we were. This is where we were doing good for our size. So I got up. And I went to Boko in February, and I started that church. See, God sees things ahead you don't know. So imagine I was pastoring a church of, then we're about 150 people to 200 people per service. And God said, go start on that church in town. And guess where we started? With 3 people. What I didn't know was that that company was going to go bankrupt. As at the time God said to go and start that church, it didn't look like that company could ever die. If you were in Benue Cement Company, you will never believe in your life that one day that company could go bankrupt. It was the pride of the Middle Belt. There's hardly any politician today who has not passed through that company. No Middle Belt politician, call their names. One way or the other, they've been benefactors of that place. In fact, when I was in Kano, I had a friend who told me that Boko is the most beautiful place in Nigeria. To be honest, I was trying to tell him that, no, let me explain to you. He said, no place can be finer than that place. Because when he came to Boko, they took him to Nkai Estate. They now brought him to Factory House and Estate. Those were the 2 places he went to. He was
friends with the family. He said, that is the most, in fact, when I said I'm from Boko, he said, you are from Boko. Kai, that place is fine. That place is the finest place. I was making fun of him. This is my friend, he's a pastor today too. He said, Pastor, I've been to Lagos, I've been to Port Harcourt, I've been to all these places. Boko is the finest place. He said, they don't take light. No, to be honest, growing up in the estate, I didn't know what it was to take light. I didn't know what it was that water is not running. I remember when I got a house in Boko. What an experience. It was a shocker. Because the first day they brought NEPA bill to me, I said, for what? I didn't know they pay for light. I didn't know that if you need water, you have to fetch from the well. So listen, the company looked like a fortress, but God saw. And God did not wait. Are you with me? For the company to close before instructing me to go. So by the time the company was closing, church was meeting me in Boko. That is the wisdom of God. Are you getting me? Setting us ahead of the agenda of events here on earth. So I've discovered from experience, I am hardly caught on guard in anything in life. Because the Holy Ghost has a way of always projecting me into the future and positioning me, making me ready before an event takes place. But you see, when people don't understand the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, you will discover that they are always behind time. They don't know when things happen. Oh, and their constant testimony is, I should have known. I wish I knew. I did. You can avoid I wish I know, I wish I knew, praise God, by learning the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. It will put you ahead, even in the business world. Say amen. So let's look at what is the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is the supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God, where God reveals to us his divine purpose in the future. Now notice, it is not word of wisdom. This is not human wisdom. This is not ability to tell proverbs. This is not intelligence. Scripture calls it what? A word of wisdom. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, quickly. But the manifestation of the Spirit is going to go down, quickly. For to one is given the word. Say the word. Is given the word of wisdom. Now let me explain it this way. This is the best way for explaining the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is God allowing you to tap into his omniscience. Now there are three attributes that make God God. One is that God is omnipresent. What does that mean? He has the ability to be everywhere at the same time. God is here in Nigeria, he's in US, he's in Ikpayongu, he's in Agojeju, he's everywhere at the same time. Only God can be that. Hope you know the devil is not omnipresent. Some of you always think that the devil is with you and your grandmother. No, the devil cannot be in more than a place at a time. It's an attribute that only God has. He's omnipresent. Omni means all. Then the second attribute is that God is what? Omnipotent. He is all powerful. Every power belongs to him. See, can I speak to you? If there's someone that is all powerful, then don't be afraid of other powers. Oh, you didn't hear me. Power from Buddhist temple, Shango Thor, Vikings, Ibiuvungu, are you with me? All of them, amen, all of them. God is all powerful. God is all powerful. Every power is in him. And good news, when he dwells in you, he doesn't dwell with you with some of his power. He dwells in you in all of his power. That is why you are indestructible. No, you didn't hear me. I said you are indestructible. You cannot be destroyed. Not with God. So when there's a working of miracle, do you know what? You tap into the omnipotency of God. That's what the power gifts are. But God is also omniscient. That means he knows all things, even chemistry and accounting. God is all knowing. There's nothing you say to God and God will be like, I'm not aware of that. No. He's all knowing. The only thing he doesn't know are your sins buried in the blood of Jesus. And that is a choice. God is all knowing. Listen now, what does the omniscient of God mean? It means that God knows what's going to happen 30 years from now. He knows what's going to happen next month. Hello. And at the same time, he knows what happened in 1912. And he knows what is happening now. The omniscient of God means that God is in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. So the word of wisdom, is that God gives you a glimpse into the future based on what he knows. So it is not something that you can activate. It's something that he activates in you. Say amen. Why is it called word of wisdom? Because it has to do with what? The future. In the past, it's no longer wisdom. A problem that has been solved, you don't say, give me wisdom to solve it. Wisdom always has to do with the future. It has to do with unlocking something. Always has to do with problem solving. Are you with me? Always has to do with being able to make plans as regards the future. Say amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Let me show you this. So God gives you a segment into it. So, you know, don't say it's not a word of the wise. Some people believe that God has gifted them to be wise. No. Christ has been made wisdom to all of us. It's not a gift to everybody. Somebody told me that when he was growing up, they told him that he would be a very wise person. I said, me too. Me too, they told me I'd be a very wise person. Wisdom, can I speak some? Wisdom does not have potency. No, you didn't hear me. Wisdom doesn't have potency. You know what I mean? One time we're in Boko and they said, thank you. They said, God, that guy is very troublesome. I said, no. Don't keep saying he's troublesome. You don't know us too. Because nobody has monopoly of trouble. And nobody has patency right to trouble. You didn't go to register trouble at the Corporate Affairs Commission. So don't say that person is troublesome. You don't have an exclusive right to it. Wisdom is available. The Bible says it's even crying on the streets. Proverbs chapter 3 for anyone who wants to receive it. But this is not the wisdom we are talking about. Can I even go further? This is not the wisdom you get from God's word. You know, the Bible says, I think that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. I don't know, is it 1 Timothy? Where it says that Paul was urging Timothy to give himself to scriptures, which he was taught right from when he was a child. He said those scriptures are able to make him wise unto salvation. That is not what we are talking about in the word of wisdom. Someone said, what is the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is a revelation. You know how it operates? It's like in a moment of time, you can see the mind of God. It's like in a moment of time, you just know. In a moment of time, there is a segment of God's all knowledge, wisdom, that is revealed to you. And look at what scripture says, 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Permit me to say, the word of wisdom will bring glory to your life.
Amen.
It will make you beautiful. I say it will make you beautiful.
Amen.
So we speak hidden things. Now, an example of word of wisdom that I love is in the life of Joseph. Go there. Genesis. I love it. You know why? The Bible says it's ordained for our glory. That means through the word of wisdom, you can gain supernatural advantage and positions. What professionals are not able to access, through the word of wisdom, God can position you to access those things. I'm getting excited saying this. Genesis 41, verse 37. You know the story, how Pharaoh dreamt. And when Pharaoh dreamt, scripture tells us that he did not know the meaning of the dream. Ah, good news. There are pharaohs of our time dreaming.
Amen.
Let me speak to the people this side. There are pharaohs of our time dreaming.
Amen.
Some of you are seated here right now. You will be surprised how some very wealthy billionaires are looking for answers to certain issues in their life. They've consulted with the best minds. They've consulted the professors. And guess what? Answers have not come. God, who knows the answers, can open your mind in a moment of time. Are you with me? And reveal those things to you.
Amen.
That is why the Holy Ghost gives you supernatural advantage. It will come to you like intuitions. That's why we say it's intuitions and premonitions. The Bible says in verse 37, after Joseph came, he said, oh, glory. I sense a prophetic anointing here. There are some of you seated here that people will be announcing you before kings.
Amen.
They will be announcing you before kings.
Amen.
There are things you have done, you thought they forgot you. God will cause your name to ring in their hearts.
Amen.
You know, it could be the PA to that CEO who will say, I remember this guy when we were serving. Some years ago, there was something he did. I'm sure you'll be able to prefer answers to this thing that you are thinking. And God will supernaturally lift you from where you are. And in a moment of time, you see yourself standing before kings.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you received it. I wish somebody will receive it. Receiving has an attitude. You know, receiving, say that is me. It is me God is talking about. Like the butler. He said, now I remember. I remember. There was this guy that unlocked my own dream. Oh, King, I'm sure you will unlock your dream too. So what's his name? He says, Joseph. Well, he's a slave. That means position doesn't matter. You know what I've discovered in life? When people are looking for solutions, they don't care where they bring it from. Listen, if there is somewhere that can cure cancer, in a local clinic, in a village, people will go there. Because you cannot legislate solutions. You cannot even zone answers. You can't zone answers. If you find the solution to the energy crisis in Nigeria, they will not say because you are from a minority tribe, they will not patronize it. Two of us. Forget about this tribe. You didn't hear me. Forget about tribe. You know my tribe. Sometimes we are too carnal. Okay. Those of you that come from Basang, how are you going to do now? Some of you are wondering, which tribe is that? But Joe is not even proud of his tribe. You know, anytime I talk about the Basang tribe, that's why he changed his name. You think I won't say it? I'll say it. How much will you pay me? No, after service. No. If you don't want me to say it, you have to stand up now and tell me how much you pay me. The Bible says a bribe received in secret perverts truth. So let's do it openly. Praise God. No, but you get what I'm saying? So how can a basang person ever be what? Ever be relevant in life? That means God can put a basang person in a position of influence without necessarily making him the president. If you have the answer to the energy crisis in this country, presidents will be consulting you. You'll be making decisions. And it's going to happen via what? It's going to happen via intuitions and premonitions that the Holy Ghost, who is your helper, will make available to you. Some of you have technologies locked up on the inside of you, ideas locked up on the inside of you, songs locked up in the inside of you. Now, hallelujah, you are providing answers in the name of Jesus. Look at what Pharaoh said. When Joseph stood in front of Pharaoh and announced it, Pharaoh said, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Verse 38 says, 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, imagine servants who have been desiring this position. This boy just came from the dungeon a few hours ago. Dungeon. And said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? That is what, see, God just showed him in a, this is what a small fraction of God's wisdom can do to a man. Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God. Pharaoh knew this thing did not come from intellect. Pharaoh knew that this answer, there are things that degrees will not produce. Things that seminars will not produce. You know, some of you brought too much. I don't have a problem with those things. You know, your certificate can fill a box. See, he said, this thing must have come from somewhere. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. This is not academic brilliance. This is not academic brilliance. No. Please, I want you to go beyond this. This is not wisdom. You know, some people, all your permutations and calculations, where are you? That's why you need to depend on the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen. After today, you'll be sharing testimonies. Amen. That God showed me this. God led me here. Amen. I've seen it. Let me show you one more example. Genesis chapter 6. I'll show us two and then we close. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. Say, I'm like a Joseph. If you're in the marketplace, confess it. I'm not sure Joseph said, anytime Pharaoh dreams, this I'm going to handle it. No, it was not pre-planned. Genesis 6:12. So God looked upon the earth and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Amen. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with a pitch. How many of you know this is a word of wisdom? You don't have to be caught up with the destruction that caught up with everybody. But some of you are running companies here. You have businesses. You are following trends. You don't know where that, you don't know that that business might be obsolete in the next 1 year. Is when the thing crashes and everybody is crying, say, Kai, we didn't see it coming. God can warn you ahead of time and you'll make, God can even tell you, diversify your investments. Move from this place to this line. When you are moving, people will be laughing. Don't follow trends at the expense of instructions. Noah was building an ark in a place at a time when it rained just once a year. So imagine where it rains once a year and then you tell people that a flood is going to come that will cover the whole earth. Won't they laugh? And then you invest a lot of time building a ship. That's foolishness. But God had spoken. And that's why sometimes we have Christians who are too carnal. What are the industry players saying? I don't have a problem with you getting data, having facts. But after you gather the data and you gather the facts, you now pray. Glory to God. The Spirit of God will now reveal to you. Sometimes you say, follow this data, follow that. Other times you say, throw it away. This is what is going to happen. And listen, you now need to be bold to take steps in the direction that the Holy Ghost is meeting you. Because one of the things I've noticed with entrepreneurship is that the man who charts the course gets the market. By the time others are coming, you are the king there. So you become the gatekeeper that grants other people access. Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. I was reading something the other day and I discovered that, you know, as far back as 1914, somebody had already seen the internet and mentioned it and started making plans and they were laughing at him. See, there is no way you should be a leader without functioning in this word of wisdom. If you want to be a leader or a player in any field, you must exercise yourself in this gift. It is what puts you ahead. If you don't understand what I'm saying, you will find yourself always playing catch up. Do you know there are politicians who are kingmakers? They can tell who. This thing works in every field. Some of you will be able to tell that, look, this person here, with what I have seen in my spirit, this is going to be the next governor. Not just following. Very soon in Nigeria, zoning will be useless. Hope you know that. All this, you know, some of you sitting there and saying, no, God told me that I'm going to be honorable, House of Rep. But based on what I am currently seeing, that thing is going to take time. Because when they zone this thing, you know, and they zone this thing, the thing goes to zone A, zone B, zone C. By the time it even comes into zone C, enter into zone C, before the thing will now reach our own, you know, because you know that T has two sons. One is from this side, the other is from this side. That one, and you know the T culture is Chucky brother. Listen to me. When you keep saying those things, you'll be missing out on God's agenda. You know, there are five families. In these five families, are you getting me? When Marcel are rude and take it, they will not take it to Kuna. Then from Kuna, they move the thing to this place, they move the thing to this place, they move the thing. In all these things, what has God said? You don't know. Joseph, who became prime minister in Egypt, which family did he have in Egypt? It's not permutations that are put in there. It's one manifestation of the grace of the Spirit. Acts 27, verse 10, as a roundup. You know, they were taking Paul, when you go home, you can read it, to go to Rome so that he would stand his trial. And the Bible says, as they were about to sail, give me the Message translation. As they were about to sail, I love this story. You know, Paul is a prisoner. So he walked up to the captain of the ship and said, I don't think we should sail. You know, if you're a prisoner, you're telling the captain, they'll think it's because you're afraid of traveling. Verse 10 says, guess what Paul says? He said, I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship. Let's read from verse 9 so I get the gist. You know, by this time, we had lost a lot of time. We had passed the autumn equinox. So it will be stormy weather from now on through the winter. Too dangerous for sailing. Paul warned. This is what I'm saying. Paul now warned. Imagine a prisoner warning. Paul now warned and said, I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship. To say nothing of our lives, if we put out to sea now, He's not saying I don't want to go. He's just saying we shouldn't go now. Look at what he says. Verse 10. But it was not the best harbor for staying the winter. Phoenix. A few miles further on was more suitable. Continue. The centurion, that's the captain, set Paul's warning aside and let the ship captain and the ship owner talk him into trying for the next harbor. You don't want to read, okay? The Bible says, when they started, see how he went. When a gentle southerly breeze came up, they weighed anchor, thinking it would be smooth sailing. You know, the air was just blowing so nice. They were just telling themselves, this boy is just the fear. How can he say this is not a perfect time to sail? All right, let's begin to move. Everything looked perfect. But they were no sooner out to sea than a gale force wind. You know what a gale force wind? That's what CNN calls hurricane Wilberforce. The infamous Nor'easter struck. They lost all control of the ship. It was a cock in the storm. You know the sad part of the story? See that? You know how the story ended? That's how they suffered. You know how they landed on the island of Malta? The Bible says the debris from the ship, and some were hanging. The ship scattered. Everything scattered. Some had to sit on it. And somebody said, I just perceive that this thing is going to have trouble. It was the wisdom of God. Write this down as we close. How does the wisdom of God operate? One, it can operate to a simple inward witness. For Paul, it was not a vision. He just noticed. He just sensed in his heart. How many of you have been there where sometimes you sense as you are going out in the morning, don't go this way. Are you with me? Don't. Sometimes it could just be as simple as a weakness. It doesn't have to be a... See, God can bring mighty things to you through simple intuitions. Two, it could be through a trance. It could be through a trance. Amen. Ezekiel, Apostle John, you know, John saw the future. Even the things we're experiencing today, John saw it on the island in the book of Revelation. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Sometimes when I read Revelations, I'm like, wow. All these things are, you know, why some of you always follow trends on television, CNN, and all these things? You don't read the Bible. There's nothing that's happening in the world right now that the Bible hasn't spoken about. So when I read Revelations sometimes and I do studies on them, I'm like, wow, this world events were seen then, where it was a trance. So it can come to you through a trance. A trance is when you are caught away in the spirit. You are not sleeping, but you can see spiritual things. You are awake, but then your eyes can see spiritual things. Amen. Number three, it could be a night vision. Some people call it dreams. Amen. Some will call it what? Could be dreams. Four, it could be through a prophetic word. Five, it could be God sending people to you. Have you ever been in a place and you were having a regular, normal conversation, and in that conversation, you just discover that you heard something that the person didn't even know when he said it? Exercise yourself in this. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.